formalities out of the way, I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and run real quickly with us over to the book of Acts, chapter number 6. We are continuing our Forward Progress of the Church series. This will be our 39th sermon, actually, out of the book of Acts that we're doing here. And once you have found Acts chapter number 6, if you're able to, let's go ahead and please stand in the honor of reading Father's Holy Word here. And we'll read just one verse. I'll stumble through some names and then we'll pray and see what the Lord's got for us today. Amen? So Acts chapter number 6, verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch." You'll notice toward the middle of the verse it says, "Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." What we'd like to do today is to bring the sermon on this particular thought, Stephen. And if you want a subtitle, "Man Full of Faith in the Holy Ghost." Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, once again for all that You've done for us and all that You're going to do. And we're certainly looking forward to what You've got for us here today. And we do pray, Lord, that You'd help us, please, to be obedient to Your holy will. And while it's on my mind, I want to pray, Lord, for Brother John Smith as he's over there at St. Mary's with Brother Paco. And if You please would be with him and give him the wisdom that he needs as he's trying to minister to Brother Paco in this particular time that he's at. And we don't know all the details, Father, surrounding Brother Paco, but we're asking, Lord, please take care of him. And we do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon each and every one here 29th. And help us, Lord, please, to be obedient to You and to follow after Your most holy will. We love You, Father, and in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
So, as we said, Stephen, and we'll subtitle it, if you will, "A Man Full of Faith and of the Holy Ghost." And certainly, it does appear that he met the qualifications that the apostles had laid out, because they said, "Hey, look you out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." And it is specified here in verse number 5 that he was exactly that. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And we want to look here at what that means. Being full of the Holy Ghost, to be full of faith, to be able to be used by God the way that God would see fit for us. And before we really get going into the message here, I ran across a book this past week. And when I saw the title of the book there, Brother Tim, it caught my eye. The title of the book was Sam Jones. And it put a smile on my face instantly, because I remembered the sermon that C.T. Townsend had brought many years ago. And he referenced Sam Jones during the course of that sermon there. And I want to tell you a little bit about the Reverend Sam Jones before we get going here on Stephen. Sam Jones was a lawyer by trade. He passed away one day short of his 59th birthday back in 1906. And when you Google Sam Jones, that's the first stuff you're going to find about him. Amazing that Google would make sure to tell you he was a lawyer, and then get into the fact that he was a revivalist. But that's neither here nor there, I reckon. I mean, after all, it was down south that he was doing this, see? That's where God called him to go preach his revival meetings, was down south. But, you know, it wasn't like what we have nowadays, where we'll schedule a meeting for 3 or 4 days, a week. And if something happens, well, maybe we'll extend it out to being 2 weeks. I mean, this was the type of revivals like C.T. Townsend has been doing here of late, and David Harrison, and going out there and preaching, and it's scheduled for a week, it turns into two. Next thing you know, they're going 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks long. because the Holy Spirit is just all over the meeting that's taking place there. And that's how it was with Sam Jones, because he was sold out to God. In fact, he was so sold out, he was so on fire for God, that he had what was considered to be a nasty habit. So what nasty habit was that? Well, he'd go into town, he'd start preaching revivals, and before you know it, he'd be shutting down all the saloons and bars. Turns out you can't have a saloon or a bar open and no bartenders, because all the bartenders went and got saved. A little bit of a problem for the industry. And this, the word about what was happening around Sam Jones and the bartenders all getting saved got back to a man by the name of Thomas Ryman. And Thomas Ryman kept hearing this and hearing this and hearing this. And Brother Jeremy, this guy got fed up hearing it. And he just outright declared, if Sam Jones ever comes to his town, he personally would run him out of town or kill him. Whatever would work, that's what he was going to do to Sam Jones. There was no way in the world Sam Jones was going to come to his town and preach the Bible. Well, you know what happens when you say something dumb like that. Holy Spirit laid it on Sam Jones' heart. You're going to go to that town and preach. Sam Jones says, Lord, don't you know he's threatened to kill me? Go to that town. Yes, sir, I'm going. Got on the next train down there. Got down to this particular town there, Brother John. Sam Jones got off of the train, went from the platform, found out where Thomas Ryman lived, and made a beeline for Thomas Ryman's mansion. Got over there. Butler opens up the door. My name is Sam Jones, and I am here to stay in Mr. Ryman's house. Please show me to my room. Okay, I missed the memo. Come on in. Brings him in, shows him to the room. Before Sam Jones goes in the room, says, by the way, I am to eat with Mr. Ryman, so when supper is ready, please let me know so I can go eat with him. Yes, sir. Well, supper time comes. The butler comes. Mr. Jones, Mr. Ryman is at the dinner table. Thank you. He grabbed his stuff. He went there to the dining room. Walked up that one end, down there to where Mr. Ryman was. Says, my name is Sam Jones. I'm going to stay here while I'm preaching revival, and I'm going to eat your food. And God told me to do this. He starts eating. The whole time he's eating, he's telling Mr. Ryman, he's come to preach the Bible. He starts witnessing to him about the Lord, telling him how much Jesus loves him, how Jesus died, and what he can do for him to save his soul. Get done, Mr. Ryman says, all right, you can stay tonight, but you better find a place tomorrow for you to stay. Thanks kindly, sir. I appreciate it. I'll see you later. Went to his meeting. Went to that meeting. Preached. Came home. Opened up the door to his room, and there's a note on the floor. He picks it up. It's from Mr. Ryman. You can stay a week, and you can eat my food, but please leave me alone. Well, you all know what happens when you say something dumb like that. Next supper time came. Brother Ryman is sitting there at his table. He is eating. Here comes Brother Sam Jones. Sits down and re-preaches last night's sermon to him, making sure to tell him all about how Jesus loves him. 4 or 5 weeks later, meeting's still going strong. Every night, Sam Jones, before he has left the mansion to go to that meeting, he has had supper with Mr. Ryman. He has re-preached last night's message to Mr. Ryman. He has told him about the mercies of God and the need to be saved. It's a long time having to listen to those sermons all over again. That night, just as they're getting ready to start the service, there's a collective gasp. The back door opened and Mr. Ryman came walking in. A man who threatened to kill Sam Jones. that he showed his face in town, who's now been staying with him for the last 5 weeks. And everybody's got one thought on his mind, is tonight the night he kills Sam Jones. He finds himself a seat and he sits down. Sam Jones gets up there and does what he's done every night previously. He preaches his heart out, lays it all on the altar for the people. Gave the invitation. First one down to the altar was Mr. Ryman. Sam Jones personally led Mr. Ryman to the Lord. Mr. Thomas Ryman fell so in love with Jesus that he decided that he was going to build the biggest sanctuary in town, so that whenever Sam Jones were to come to town, he would be able to hold a meeting there and the number of people would not matter. Everybody would be able to get in and to hear about his Jesus.
Amen.
For those of you scratching your head saying that name Ryman sounds so familiar, yes, I am talking about the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. I know what the Grand Ole Opry has done to it since they bought it years ago. But that was built as a house for God. Because someone was full of faith and the Holy Ghost and sold out to God. Come life or limb, he was going to do what God would have him to do. No matter what happens. If you've been reading in your Bible and you've read through the book of Acts, you know that we see Stephen being introduced to us here in Acts chapter number 6. You know Acts chapter number 7. He spends most of it preaching about what God has done for his people, and then it closes out with him being murdered for the cause of Christ. That only can happen when you are full of faith and the Holy Ghost.
All right.
We could talk a good game. We could sit here and look the part all we want.
Yeah.
We could throw as much money in the offering plate as we want. But if we're not full of faith and the Holy Ghost, what good does it do? I want to show you 5 things about Stephen, this man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And we're going to go through them really quickly, I promise you. I want you to see, first of all, he was a soul on fire. Look with me in verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I want you to notice here, real quickly, it says he was full of faith and power. He was not full of power and faith. Can't have it that way, church. What do you mean, preacher? I'm glad you asked. I like those questions. You can take and have the most perfect car sitting outside. Let's say you've got a brand new, fresh off the assembly line, Rolls Royce. I love Rolls Royces. I love that never has one ever broken down. Say, is that true, preacher? Sure, go check their record. They have no record of a Rolls Royce ever breaking down. It would go against their company motto. Yeah, they break down, church. They don't charge for the repairs. That's called justification. Just throwing that out there for you. You take a brand new Rolls Royce. It is fully decked out. Beautiful brand new battery. It's got all the fluids in there except the gasoline. It has the potential to get up there at any speed it needs to, and you will ride comfortably the whole way. But without gasoline, it's a paperweight. Faith, church, is our spiritual gasoline. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance is tangible. It is something you can get a hold of. And evidence is legal material that will hold up in a court of law.
Right, come on.
You want a soul on fire? Get you some faith. faith and flames will come up spiritually.
Amen.
Take that Rolls Royce, fill it with gasoline, and it's going to take off.
Right.
Take your spiritual life, fill it up with the gasoline of God's holy word here. You're going to take off, church.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do anything for God. It must be by faith.
Right.
If you think you're doing it for God, but you ain't doing it in faith, you're doing it for self.
Right.
In the subject. He was a soul on fire. He was only able to do the miracles and the wonders and have the power because he had faith.
Yeah. Right.
The very thing we need, faith. I want to say too, he was studied up. Verse number 10. Now he's disputing here with the people, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And how you get wisdom? You get experience and knowledge, and you put it together. You get wisdom by reading God's holy word here.
Yeah.
He has the knowledge and experience together for you, so you don't have to have the practical experience of the same mistakes that these people made. You can avoid it that way. Stephen here has been doing what the Apostle Paul wrote there in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He is studied up. What does the Bible say in Romans 10:17? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It goes back and forth like that. It's kind of like a symbiotic relationship. Now, a symbiotic relationship is when the two organisms are together and they're feeding off of each other. They live together. They are cohabitating, if you will. Our faith grows the more we study. The more we study, the more our faith will grow.
Yes, right.
The more we have of God in us, the more we want to have God in us. The more we do for God, the more we want to do for God.
Yes.
See how that works, church? It's not just a simple, cute play on words. It's a fact of life.
Right.
The more we get into God's Word, the more we study, the stronger our faith muscles become, the more we can do for the Lord.
Yes.
They said D.L. Moody was a man so on fire for God that he shook two continents, North America and Europe, for the cause of Christ there. When's the next D.L. Moody coming along? When's the next D.T. Townsend coming along? David Harrison coming along? When is it, church? Well, I have no idea. Well, then maybe we need to look in the mirror.
Come on, you're right.
And say, when am I going to study? When am I going to be a soul on fire for God?
Right.
Preach it.
We're talking about Sunday school this morning. And when all the lights are off inside of here, and all we've got in the back there going to the fellowship hall is that one little night light there. It's dark. It's not lighting up the hallway, but you can still spot that light.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you know what, church? That's good, Father. Thank you. The lights are on in here. But I'm looking right now at that door. Those two double doors right there. And I can see at the bottom where the molding is not perfect and how there is light right there at the very bottom where the two doors join together.
Amen.
That light stands out, church. We can stand out too.
Yeah.
God's not requiring us to be the next D.L. Moody, the next Sam Jones. What is He requiring us to be? Well, in my case, He's requiring me to be the next Dennis Ray Sampson Jr. He's requiring him to be the next Timothy Moore, him to be the next Jeremy Haywood.
Come on.
Isn't that who we are?
Amen.
Yeah? Isn't that who we are supposed to be in God? Yes!
Right.
That goes for each and every one of us. We've got to study.
Yeah.
So we can be the next Stephen. Not just the preachers, not just Sunday school teachers, but all of us.
Yeah.
And that leads me to my next point. He had solidarity in his conviction. Look with me in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Imagine that, the face of an angel. Why in the world would it be the face of an angel? Well, number one, I'll throw this out there for free. I promise I won't charge it. The word angel can be translated as angel, messenger, or pastor. Okay? But let's just focus on the first two, angel or messenger. Now, obviously, he's not an angel, therefore, it would seem that he'd be a messenger. As we've said before, we're all called to be witnesses for Christ. We're all called to be the messengers that he would have us to be. But it says here that he would have the face of an angel is how they translate it over into English. Think about this for just a moment, church. Angels live and love to serve God.
Yes.
If God were to tell Gabriel, "Gabriel, I need you to go stand in that corner over there for the next 1,000 years. Gabriel's running over to that corner there with a smile on his face for the next 1,000 years, standing there because he's doing what God has commanded him to do, and he is happy to be doing it. And how many of us can say we're happy to be doing what God would have us to do, what God has asked us to do? And versus how many of us sitting there saying, "Good night, I've got to do this."
Amen.
It's the attitude, church. So we got an attitude of gratitude toward what God has given us the opportunity to do, like Stephen here, or is it an attitude of,
preach it now.
What about me?
Preach it.
Now, unlike Sam Jones, who knew he was under death threat, Stephen didn't know that. Stephen had no clue he was about to become the first martyr of the infant church. No clue. I dare say it wouldn't have mattered one bit if he had known.
Right.
Because he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
May I say his sermons were just truth. Look with me in chapter number 7, verses 8 and 9. And this is during his sermon here that he's preaching to the council. And he gave him, talking about Abraham, that God gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the 8th day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. You know they were saying amen right there.
Yeah.
Man, this is some good stuff right here. That's great A material. Nothing wrong with that preaching at all.
Yeah.
Verse number 9. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Now they were wanting to say amen to that because it's the truth. Oh yeah, they liked it, but Brother Jeremy, they knew he was going somewhere they didn't like.
Come on.
Because he wasn't skipping over any incidents.
Yeah.
He wasn't skipping over the things that make him uneasy. Nothing that would put a burr in their saddle. No, they were getting the burr. Oh yeah. It wasn't gonna be pretty. Truth hurts, but you know what? It hurts you because it's trying to help you. Like Miss Brittany is hoping to get to go soon, have that surgery and get those gallstones removed. Guess what? The surgeon has to hurt her. He's going to be giving her some medication to put her to sleep. He's going to be giving her some medication to take and numb her nerves so he can take that razor sharp knife and cut into her and reach in there and pull out that gallbladder. It's going to hurt, but the medicine, Miss Sue, is going to make sure she don't feel a thing. But that's how the truth operates, church.
Right.
If it's going to help you, it's going to have to hurt a little bit.
Yes. Come on.
But what was it that was said earlier? She's going to be able to start eating normally again afterward.
I want some fried chicken so bad.
Praise God, the holy bird. Doesn't that sound wonderful? But only the truth is going to get that done.
Right.
You go out there and you tell a lost and dying world that they need to be saved.
Okay,
whatever. You tell them why they need to be saved, because their sins have separated them from God. You tell them that their sins have been paid for on the cross of Calvary. If they will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but if they don't accept His payment of their sins, that they are going to find themselves splitting hell wide open for all of eternity.
Come on, tell us.
It hurts to hear that. You're crazy to be telling me that, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
And Stephen's sermons were filled with the truth.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I'm not a preacher. I don't have to worry about a sermon.
Amen.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yes.
Was not just to the apostles. It's to anyone who calls Jesus their Lord and King.
Amen.
And if you don't like it with me, take it up with the author. I'm just telling you what he wrote.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about Dr. Luke either.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say, fifthly here, if Miss Feather will go ahead and come to the piano. Fifthly here, I want to say this, he was sold out for Jesus. And when you get over there, go ahead and start playing softly, please. Acts chapter 7, verses number 54 and 55. He's preached his sermon. He has been called to be a deacon. But I dare say he was called for one other thing. To preach one single sermon. Just one. That's all that was necessary.
Right.
It's been re-preached for the last 1900 plus years. It's here in the book of Acts. But read with me here what the Bible says in verse number 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They started torturing this man for telling them the truth of their need for Jesus Christ. How dare he try to win them to the Lord? You can have your religion. Don't try to force your religion upon me. I'm not trying to force my religion upon you. I'm trying to help you and warn you.
Yes.
Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man," remember, that's what Jesus called Himself, the Son of Man, "standing on the right hand of God." When they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Him with one accord and cast Him out of the city and stoned Him. He was sold out for Jesus. They started off torturing Him and they quickly went to murder. But note that He said, "I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Jesus Himself said there in Mark 14, verse 62, when He was being accused there at His trial, and they asked Him, "Are you indeed the Son of God?" He said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power." Sitting, church. Yet Stephen saw Him standing. What's the difference? In the judgment hall, they were judging Jesus. And Jesus was telling them, "One day, I'll be judging you." Stephen is falling down beneath the weight of the rocks that are pummeling his body. I see him standing there. He's standing to greet me. "I'm coming home."
Yes.
This is a man who sold out for God. Said, "I don't care what happens to me. I just want to tell someone about Jesus." Sam Jones says, "I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to tell them there in Nashville, Tennessee about Jesus."
Yeah.
Ryman kills me. He kills me. Ryman didn't kill. Ryman didn't got went and built an auditorium for him.
Right on.
That's how my God repays His servants. What do you mean repays the servants? They died. Yeah. Precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints.
Yeah.
When they died here, Jesus was standing there ready to receive His good and faithful servants. I've got this one question and a statement for you this morning. And this is a very pointed question. When our time comes, will Jesus be standing to greet us or not? Think about that one for a moment. He could just go ahead and sit right there and say, "Come on in." He doesn't have to stand.
Amen.
My statement is simply this. There's still time to stir the fire in your soul. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. I believe, Lord, this is a sermon You'd have me to bring to Your people today, and I pray, Lord, for each and every one here that they will have gotten exactly what it is that they need out of the sermon. And that we'll all question ourselves Are we doing our all for Jesus who gave His all for us? Or are we compromising? Are we being lazy? Are we being selfish? Are we falling by the excuse of, well, Jesus understands? Or are we looking for ways to please You? Help us, Father, please, to each one of us be honest with ourselves as we all stand. Help us, Father, please.